easement, what's the easement?
It's kind of swap.
This is close.
Hello. Okay, we hear you. Let's just make sure. Say something, Elisa. Good. Okay. All right. How's everybody doing?
Surviving.
We want you to be thriving, not just surviving.
No, it's impossible.
Impossible to thrive. You know, Emory has this big advertising campaign of student flourishing. Is everybody flourishing?
Can you define flourishing for us?
Thriving.
Thriving. Yeah. What are the factors that make up the construct of thriving?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what we gotta know.
And maybe personal emotional well-being would be emotional well-being.
No, I would disagree.
You get that?
I would not disagree.
No.
That's like the bottom of the list.
It's the bottom of the list. Wow. So what's the top of the list for you?
Meaning? I think aim is one of those. Because you don't aim for happiness, you aim for meaning. And then you get happiness like sometimes, once in a while.
Okay.
But you have happiness, because if you have happiness all the time, you know, then you know you're miserable.
You're miserable.
Yeah, you're more miserable.
So if you get happiness all the time, you're not happy.
Yeah, you're not really happy then, you know, you're just kind of, you know, like a thrill-seeking, low-resolution goals and, you know.
It's like what Donald Trump said, we'll have so much winning, we'll be tired of winning.
Yeah, that's right.
We're sick of winning.
Yeah, we're sick of winning, yeah.
All right. Well, I have some news. Shayna is not continuing in the lab. She decided that she didn't have enough time to devote to the weekly assignments. So we will forever have the empty chair for her here. But I thought that her contributions last week were really great, and I hope that they were helpful to everybody. So the good thing about that, though, is that it balances out our two groups, right? So now there are 5 SA people and 5 OA people. Mm-hmm. So now there's no unequal amounts.
We still always swap based.
What?
They're always changing their spot based on his actions.
Oh.
Yeah, just give it this way. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, you know,
otherwise
Daniel, can you work on being more invisible? I mean, come on.
Don't do that.
Daniel needs work on transparency. all right, so given that, we've got 10 people now, plus Elisa, and I'll pass this around, just check your name off.
Oh, I see it.
So I'm curious how everybody felt they did with the assignment this past week. How was it? Horrible?
Yeah, because the distribution of relevant effects weren't equal. So you have one that's like 34 and the other one's like 60. Mm-hmm. So if you do the math, then each relevant effect needs to have an average of 1 to 2 for just one person. So it was really hard to just get over 20.
Right, I think I was Elise and I were talking about this prior to the lab. I think partly what the problem was is that, you know, we have this rule that, Charles actually reminded us of, and that is that a repeating idea has to have relevant text from more than one interview. And so I'm only giving you two. So if you have a bunch of relevant text that seems to hang together, right, that would seem like a repeating idea, but there's no corroborating relevant text in the other interview I'm giving you, then it's all orphan text, right? So I appreciate that. I promise you that will not be an issue when we get to doing coding the real stories, because we'll have 40-something of them.
I thought you were going to make us go through retraining again.
No. I mean, I think you're probably ready to move ahead. If you feel that way, let me know. If you don't feel that way, let me know that as well. And we'll do another week of repeating ideas. Now, something smells like incense. It smells so good.
Really?
I love that smell. You don't like it?
No, I don't like that. I think it's in my head. It's just smoke to me.
It's just smoke to you. Holy smoke. So I actually found the passages that we were looking for last week, and it didn't take me that long, it took me like a minute. If you brought your books on page 60,
yes,
how many repeating ideas should you come up with? There are no hard and fast rules, but we have found that something in the neighborhood of 60 is a workable number, so that's the average, with a minimum of 40 and a maximum of 80. Got that? So when we move to the real sample, we'll keep that in mind. And then on page 65, so it's page 60 and page 65. Page 65, we're talking about themes now. We're going to get into that this week. How many themes should you have? Although there is no hard and fast rule, we suggest reducing the number of repeating ideas by a factor of 3 or 4. And what that means is that we're dividing the number of repeating ideas by 3 or by 4, resulting in from 10 to 20 themes with an average of 15. Okay? So 15 themes. But I think the important part here is that based on your previous assignments, however many repeating ideas you have, you divide by 3 or 4, and that's how many themes you should have. So you're not going to have, with these assignments we've been doing, you're not going to have 40 to 60 repeating ideas. I think Shana last week, she had 37. Why? Because we only looked at 2 interviews. Right, and the entire sample was a sample of 20 interviews that Taylor, my doctoral student, analyzed or coded. So 37 is probably a little bit on the high side given there are only 2 interviews, but be that as it may, if she had 37 repeating ideas, how many themes should she have? It's like a third grade problem.
3 to 4.
Right, so 3 to 4 themes?
Yeah, right. No. Mm-hmm.
If she had 37 ideas, repeating ideas, how many themes should she have?
10.
So it's, so how many she?
So you said, didn't you say 10 to 15 repeating ideas?
So it should be between 12, right? So it's 37 divided by 3, or 37 divided by 4, and that would be 9.25. So between 9 and 12 themes. So it's when you read something like reduced by a factor of, that usually means that you take the number and you divide it by that factor, right? So what that means is, if you look at page 65, reducing the number of repeating ideas by a factor of 3 or 4 right? And that would give you 10 to 20 themes with an average of 15. But if you have only 37, that gives you an average of between 9 and 12 themes, right? For dividing 37 by a factor of 3, right? That's 12 repeating ideas, or 12 themes. You're dividing the repeating ideas, 37 of them, by 4, right? You get 9, an average of 9. Does that make sense, everybody? This is coming straight from Auerbach and Silverstein. So, what we're going to do is, for next week, we're going to go back to the original assignment. I'm not going to have you do repeating ideas all over again. We're repeating ideas out. So the initial assignment was, Elisa, do you have it? Is it Darcy? The first assignment, Darcy and someone else?
I can pull it up in 2 seconds.
Sure. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to take the first assignment, the first repeating ideas assignment that we did, mm-hmm. involving two interviews, and you're going to go through your list of repeating ideas that you created originally, and then you're going to categorize those repeating ideas into larger, more abstract categories, which we're calling themes. Okay? What is a theme? So let me just read it to you so we're all on the same, literally on the same page. Okay. This is the top of 62. A theme is an implicit, not explicit, implicit idea or topic that a group of repeating ideas have in common. So you look through all your repeating ideas and you group them according to commonalities. The process is exactly the same as you followed with relevant text. You go to the very first repeating idea on your list of repeating ideas, just like you did with relevant text. Go to the very first repeating idea, and then you look down the list and you look for other repeating ideas that match the first one. And you set those aside. You put them in a new document called themes. And this would be theme number one. Then you go to repeating idea number two. You look for other repeating ideas that seem to have something in common with that second repeating idea. You pull all those out into your new document, and that becomes theme two. You go to your third repeating idea, and so on, and so on, and so forth, ad infinitum. Okay? Elisa, have you found that?
I think it's Barry and Shelley-Ann was the first repeating ideas assignment.
I think you're right.
But Barry. I'm trying to make sure that that's accurate.
Okay. Barry and Shelley-Ann. I hope everybody saved their work. I certainly did. I have everybody. So if you inadvertently deleted your work, let me know and I'll forward it to you. So here's an example. A theme in the Haitian Father data. This is a theme. Praising aspects of the traditional Haitian father. That's a theme. What were the repeating ideas? Well, there were three of them. My dream was to look like my father. That was a repeating idea. There is no inch of laziness in my father. That was a repeating idea. I love the way my father treated my mother. That was a repeating idea. Do you hear the commonality? What do these three repeating ideas have in common with each other? Anybody?
The actions of the father.
The actions of the father, but not only that, but praising the actions of the father, praising aspects of the traditional Haitian father. So there are some things their fathers got right in their minds, right? One was, I admire him, so I want to look like him. Two, he wasn't lazy, he was very hardworking, and three, he treated my mother, you know, like a queen. Right? So these are aspects these fathers are praising about their father, their own fathers, which would be the grandfathers of their children. Got it? Here's another theme. Well, let me give you the repeating ideas, and you tell me how you would label the theme. Okay? There are four repeating ideas. Listen carefully. My father never said I love you. My father never said I love you. Okay? Adults do not play. Adults do not play. When they say your father is coming, you run inside. When they say your father is coming, you run inside. And number four, my father took care of other children and did not care much for me. My father took care of other children and did not care much for me. Now, let me go over them again. You good? So how would you, if you were to group those together into a theme, what would the label of that theme be?
The negatives of traditional Haitian fatherhood.
The negatives of traditional Haitian father. Good, good. How might we expand the word negatives?
Expand? Bad?
What about badness? Remember, we're characterizing the speaker. I don't know whether these fathers were bad or not. It's the speaker, the interviewee's point of view, right? So I don't know if these fathers were bad or not. They might have been. They might not have been.
They didn't give them what they wanted. You know, what they desired.
Right. So what's the word for that? Dissatisfaction. I like that. So now you're describing the interviewee. They were dissatisfied with the fathers. I don't know whether the fathers were good or bad. You know, this is their recollection of their childhood. I wasn't there. I don't know. But how do we characterize their own perception? They felt dissatisfied. That we do know. They're telling us. So the name of the theme, the label of the theme that Auerbach and Silverstein gave these four repeating ideas are dissatisfactions with aspects of traditional Haitian fatherhood. Does that sound good?
But do you think that some part like the ontology plays into making that theme?
What do you mean?
The ontology.
Don't use those big words.
Yeah, so it's kind of like there are things that are not like consequential. You know what I mean? Because it's true because it's the way that like the rules are, you know? Like no matter what context, like it is like bad, you know what I mean?
It's bad to you, Daniel, and it's bad to these interviewees. I don't know whether it's universally bad. It's bad maybe within the Haitian context, maybe in Papua New Guinea it won't be bad. I want to know what it's like from the speaker's point of view.
Okay, I see.
That's what matters to me, and they were clearly dissatisfied. Okay.
So if I'm hearing correctly, this is removing our bias as the researcher by using their perception.
Right? Absolutely. This is all from their point of view, right? That's why it's called grounded theory. We're grounding it from the participant's point of view, not from our point of view, from the participant's point of view. But so labeling it bad, you know, I don't know that they would call it bad. They're dissatisfied, but they wouldn't say their fathers are bad, right? So how do they feel about their fathers? They feel dissatisfied. All right? So, we're going to do another one. Let's see if I can find another one. Let's go into the appendix. Can I stump you? Right, now this particular theme has five repeating ideas. Okay, ready? My job is to look over the family. My job is to look over the family. Number two, you're not a boss for the children, you're more like a friend. You're not a boss for the children, you're more like a friend. Number three, you have to be there whenever the child needs you. You have to be there whenever the child needs you. Number four, you call your kid and say, I love you. Number four, you call your kid and say, I love you. Number five, Jesus was my role model. Number five, Jesus was my role model. Okay, now think of a theme that pulls together all of those elements of those five repeating ideas, and what do you come up with?
Jesus
threw you off?
Yeah.
He throws a lot of people off.
The last one, just like, oh my God.
I think maybe, like, you know how, I guess it's like perceptive depending on like what religion you believe in and specificity, but like you're like a follower of Jesus is supposed to be like an amicable relationship, and instead of it being like a tyrannical mm-hmm. position, it's more of like a guidance rather than like kind of like a watcher or someone who's trying to keep you in line. It's more mm-hmm. of like a guiding hand.
So not punitive.
Correct. Yeah. So maybe something along the lines of having like your parental role be more so of a guiding hand rather than, I don't know, like based off of that last sentence with mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what ideal father figure?
Mm-hmm. Right, so that would also add in, you call your kid and say, I love you, mm-hmm. which is not so much the guiding hand element, right?
Mm-hmm.
So ideal, that I think that comes closer to what we're, you know, striving for it with these five repeating ideas. Anybody else want to hazard a guess or give your thoughts? Charles, you look like you're deep in thought. Are you sleeping? Well, remember, we want to keep as closely grounded to the participants as we can. They're not going to be using words like, I'm a father more like the Western style. Right? They're not going to, that's you imposing that idea, right? You gotta stick to the data.
They seem like rules to me, you know.
Rules?
Yeah, they seem more like rules. This, I mean, I can't really like think how they would feel about it, you know.
Okay, you want to hear what you want to hear what how Auerbach and Silverstein labeled it?
That would be helpful.
Definition of a good father. Definition of a good father. How would they characterize a good father? You add these five repeating ideas together, and that's your definition. I mean, Justin came closest, I think, with the ideal father comment. Should we continue playing this game?
Yeah.
I think I've had a long time not doing it.
That's why we're doing this, so you guys can get better at it.
Okay. Let's play another game.
All right, two more. This one has only two repeating ideas.
Well, now that's really tough.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it because it's like not enough evidence?
No, I hear you. I agree with you. Number one, it has changed you. It has reconstructed you. Number one, it has changed you. It has reconstructed you. Number two, You're looking at the children growing. It is beautiful. You're looking at the children growing. It is beautiful. Now, how would you label them, that theme? Can we read them again?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, it has changed you. It has reconstructed you. And number two, you're looking at the children growing. It is beautiful. What do you guys think?
Personal growth from parenting.
Personal growth from parenting. I like that. That might even be better than what they have. No, that's pretty good. Any other guesses or thoughts?
I agree with the Vietnamese in part. Even though the construct really is
well, anybody else want to add? Try it out. Hazard a guess. Nope. An enhanced sense of self.
Wait, you're looking at the children growing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you don't think that it would enhance you? It would enhance me. Being a father, I know. Watching my daughter grow up, it has enhanced me. Trust me.
Yeah, but it might not for some people. You know, because for that one, it's more like the perspective is kind of the children, you know? And it's like kind of like not them. You know, it feels a little distant.
Wait, no. I would agree with you up until the very end. It is beautiful.
It is
so they're
beautiful.
Commenting on it.
Oh, okay, I see.
It is beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
That's,
like, that's a value judgment.
So that's enhancing myself, though. So if I say that this desk here is beautiful, now that's enhancing me. I don't understand.
But it's from your perspective, right?
Yeah,
but it's not
an answer. It's an opinion I own, though.
How about this? Maybe
it doesn't
not
make me better by having the opinion that I own.
Maybe not a desk, but let's talk about a work of art. So I'm a huge Keith Haring fan. Anybody here, Keith Haring? Huge fan. So we have Keith Haring all over my house. You guys who've been to my house, you know. When I look at a Keith Haring drawing, you know, that enhances my sense of self. So it's not human, but it's a work of art, and children are works of art, as far as I'm concerned. So,
that's very good.
Does that help?
I guess more of like nurturing that child, like you are putting in the work of your city for yourself.
Yeah, it's like tending a garden. Use that metaphor. So I like enhanced sense of, I also like yours though, what was it, promoting self-growth?
Like personal growth.
Personal growth. I think that would work too, actually. All right, one more?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. This one also has only two repeating ideas. We are co-workers in the field of God. We are co-workers in the field of God. And repeating idea number two, it won't be your doing, it will be God's doing. Number two, it won't be your doing, it will be God's doing. Now, how would you label that theme?
Service to God.
Service to God. It won't be your doing, it will be God's doing. It's God's doing. So, right. So let's try it again.
Like,
what?
Like fate almost? You're saying that it's not you, it's something else? Like,
well, what is it?
God.
Okay. You're getting there. Once I say it, it's going to be obvious.
Like surrender to God.
Surrender to God, I like that. That's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's pretty close. Do I hear it? God makes all things possible. Ah, so close. God makes all things. I think that's good. I think God, surrender to God, I could see that too. God makes all things possible. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think you have a handle on this stuff, or?
Are there any more we can test on?
I'm looking. There might be actually.
I'm curious.
You got to take from Taylor's dissertation, right?
Huh?
You should take from Taylor's dissertation and do some of those.
Do some of hers?
Yeah.
We could. I thought you might have wanted to do your own, but you want to do Taylor's instead?
No, I mean like examples. So.
Well, then those will be our examples for next week.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I have a question about those categories, though.
Yeah.
Jesus is my father figure role. I'm wondering why they put that one in the father ideal and not the spiritual at the end. Mm-hmm. All things are possible from God.
The reason...
I'm glad they didn't come together, but I wonder what the rationale.
Yeah. So, Jesus was my role model. It doesn't say anything about Jesus making all things possible. So I think they were distinct conceptually. Let me see. Oh, yes. Wow. We've got 8 more themes. Now this is a different sample, but we have some time. Yeah. All right. You guys ready? This first theme, it has 2 repeating ideas. You guys ready? Repeating idea number uno. My father was never really around. My father was never really around. Number 2, I know how not to be a father. The emphasis is in the original. I know how not to be a father. So those are your 2 repeating ideas. How would you label that theme? So the tip of your tongue.
I have like a thought, but example of an unsatisfactory Asian father.
Is it unsatisfactory? Oh, this is a different sample. These are not Asian fathers anymore.
Well, example of an unsatisfactory father.
Unsatisfactory father. Very close.
Unpleasant experience with father.
That's almost perfect. It is unhappy early experience with their father. Crushing it. All right, should we try another one? It's kind of fun. All right, this theme also has 2 repeating ideas. First one sounds like, it's like a charade. Number 1, anxiety about fathering. Anxiety about fathering. And number 2, feeling unprepared for fatherhood. Feeling unprepared for fatherhood. So, what's the label? Savannah, you look
like anxious for fatherhood.
Anxious about fatherhood. Very close. Any other guesses? Lack of confidence about fatherhood? Close. Let me say it. Struggling with their own fathering. Struggling with their own fathering. Okay? Let's do this one. This one also has only 2 repeating ideas. Ready? A man has to be strong. A man has to be strong. Number two, providing is everything. Providing is everything. So how would you label that being?
Expectations
for ideal father.
I think for men.
For men, oh
father.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah,
because like
there's nothing about fatherhood in these two repeating ideas. And these are men talking. You know that much. They're actually members of a group called Promise Keepers. You want to hear the theme? Relying on the traditional masculine role. Right? A man has to be strong. Providing is everything. Right? That's the traditional masculine role. Alright. Ready for another one? This one also has only two repeating ideas.
This
feels wrong to
you. It feels wrong.
Oh my gosh, these are people, they founded the theory, the methodology. Okay, number one, relationships are the most important thing. Relationships are the most important thing. Number two, weird sounding, repeating idea, alternatives to anger. Alternatives to anger. So relationships are the most important thing, and alternatives to anger. How would you label that theme?
Something like a coping mechanism, maybe? But I feel like that's kind of broad for the first idea.
It is a little bit overly broad. This one's hard. I don't know that this theme captures the repeating ideas very well.
Being a respected person.
Being a respected person. Yeah, this one's a hard one, I have to admit. I would not have doubt this myself. Your family as the most important part of your life.
Oh.
That one, I don't know. I quibble with that one. Yeah. Let's try this one. Three repeating ideas, so that's better for you. Men are spiritual leaders of their families. Men are spiritual leaders of their families. Number two, you can only lead by serving. You can only lead by serving. And number three, men and women, different but equal. Men and women, different but equal. So, what would be a theme that pulls these three ideas together? Should do. Be a little bit more specific. I'll give you a hint. In the first two repeating ideas, the word lead or leader is part of it, right?
How a man should lead.
How a man should lead, very close. Men must accept the leadership role. Men must accept the leadership role. That one I can see. Two more. All right. Number one, repeating idea number one. Promise Keepers makes you realize you're not alone. That's the group they belong, the organization you belong to. Promise Keepers makes you realize you're not alone. And repeating idea number two, Promise Keepers helps you acknowledge your vulnerabilities. Promise Keepers helps you acknowledge your vulnerabilities. So, how would you group those two together? What?
Advantages of being a promise keeper.
The advantage of being a promise keeper.
But what promise
What is the advantage though? Can you be
improve.
More specific? What?
Like help them to improve or develop.
Through what method?
To what method?
Through what method?
Through keeping their promise.
I was thinking like social benefits of like being a group of promise keepers.
Yeah, what would be a social benefit?
They help you not feel alone.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie, okay. What's a common psychological term for that?
Social support.
Thank you.
Oh.
Support, right? So male support. Male support.
Male support.
What population is this?
These are men who belong to this organization called Promise Keepers,
okay.
Which is kind of a more conservative Christian organization. All right. There's one orphan text. Your family is a gift from God, and they actually created a theme from that, and the theme was doing God's work. I don't know if I agree with that. But here's the last one.
Why didn't you go back with the other one about relationships are everything? And so these are the family.
Relationships are the most important thing?
Yeah, it has a family theme, right?
Your family is a gift from God?
I thought those should have been tied together.
Yeah. Relationships are the most important thing, alternatives to anger, and your family is a gift from God. They might all fit under your family as the most important part of your life.
I think that would make more sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I second that emotion. Let's do one more. Two repeating ideas. First one, improved relationship with wife. I think this is as a result of being part of this organization. These are the benefits, right? Improved relationship with wife is number one, and number two, repeating idea, improved relationship with extended family. Improved relationship with extended family. So how would you label that theme?
Connectedness.
Very close. Very close. That's almost hitting on the head. So it's Promise Keepers reconnects you to family. I think reconnects because it's improved relationships, so there's movement in time from something that's not as related to something that's more related. Right?
It says reconnect, and that means they weren't connected before.
Right. Or maybe less connected.
But it's reconnected.
I think one reason why they joined the group is that they felt disconnected.
Okay, so.
So how was that?
It was okay.
Just okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Let's see if I can find any others. Nope, that's it. So you guys think that you know how to do this? So we're going to take Barry and Shelly Ann from your own your own repeating ideas, and you're going to group them into your own themes. And you're going to have between 1/3 and 1/4 of the number of categories that you had for repeating ideas. So let's say you had 24 repeating ideas. You would have between 6 and 8 themes. Got it? Because 24 divided by 3 is 8, and 24 divided by 4 is 6. So between 6 and 8 themes if you had 24 repeating ideas. I chose 24 because I know it's divisible by both 3 and 4. All right, any questions? Any comments? Any thoughts?
Would the theme-making process be kind of like related to like the literature, what the literature says?
Yes, absolutely it does. So remember, the research concern is hitting rock bottom. You always keep the research concern in mind at all times. We didn't do that for this exercise, we're just playing around. But when you're creating the themes, you know, keep in mind that we're trying to understand something about rock bottom.
Should we kind of like read like the introduction of like the literature search before we head into like how to be doing the theme for rock bottom?
I mean, we've been working on it for weeks now. We should kind of know what it is, right? I mean, if you want to, you can. But I think we've been working on rock bottom now for about a month and a half, so we should know.
I mean, because when you're going to like themes now, you know, it's not just kind of like the believability component. So like, here's something that someone says, you know, it's more believable if someone else said it too. So that's maybe like a repeating idea. So I'm thinking, I'm kind of like visualizing themes, making themes are kind of like multi-method kind of. Consilience validity, you know, you have like multiple like measurement sources coming together.
Yeah.
And it has to also like match up with what's already been said by other researchers. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Auerbach and Silverstein, they struggled with that because they had this idea of role strain that they did get from the literature. And they saw that these Haitian fathers were undergoing bicultural role strain, right? So they had the old way of fathering from their culture of origin, which was Haiti. And then they came to the US and they observed, American fathers behave differently toward their kids. And so how should I behave? Should I behave more like my father behaved toward me? Well, I wasn't so happy about that. Should I behave more toward the way that American fathers behave toward their children? Well, I don't really like the way they treat their wives. They don't put them on a pedestal like my dad did with my mom. You know, so they're trying to negotiate within themselves how to be good fathers and husbands, incorporating what they know from the old country, so to speak, and integrating what they or assimilating what they've learned from the new country.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a strain. It means there's tension, there's conflict. That idea they got from the literature, this idea of role strain, that didn't pop out of the data. That came from previous literature that they reviewed. So yes, we have one eye on the literature and we have one eye on the data at all times. So we know about hitting rock bottom. And if you want to learn more about it, you can read, I think I sent out Taylor's dissertation, right? So you can read her lit review. It's very well written. If you want more information about that. But that's what we're doing. So we're gonna stick with the data, but yes, it's nice to have that in mind, the lit review. When we break up into our groups, encode the real data, the group leaders, right, those who are first authors on abstracts are going to be hopefully working on their lit reviews, right, and teaching were assigning readings for their small group to explore, you know, prior to the beginning of coding. Right? So that's Charles, Justin, who are the other two? Karen, and Elisa, right, Elisa, yeah. So keep that in mind, right?
I have a logistical question.
Yeah.
So it was Barry and Shelly Ann, right, the first one?
Yes.
I do not.
Did you, Elisa, did you confirm that?
Yes.
It is, okay.
The first one, yeah.
Okay, great, thanks.
So I did not do the making sure that all ideas had two people on one idea. So we're gonna scrap that idea for now?
Let's scrap it for now.
Just make it easier.
If you didn't do that, just to make it easier, we'll suspend the rule temporarily so that two different relevant texts that comes from the same interview can still count toward an independent interview, okay? But when we get to the real sample, we're going to reinstate that rule. All right, how's that sound? All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? We're good? You guys, is this midterms or are we past midterms now?
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of it.
I mean, my classes are like projects and presentations.
Oh, that's nice.
Not really.
No?
No.
I think you'd be particularly adept at making presentations. That's not true.
Really?
Yeah.
Depends on like how much you prepare for it. But I get like really like, just stuff. I just say weird stuff.
You say weird stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Some people appreciate it for it, but other times it's just kind of like saying.
Because you speak up a lot, so I thought that speaking in public would be relatively easy for you.
I like speaking with like individual people and in like small groups of people at a time. But there's like too much, you know, I gotta go to the corner with an ice pack on my head.
Oh no.
Oh.
How many is too much? Yeah.
What's the threshold there?
What's the threshold? If I can't like individual like every person. Like this is enough. But if there's some people on like my blind spot and there's like people behind each other, and it just kind of feels like really weird. It's just a little stuff. You know, sometimes the way I deal with that is if I go to like parties and stuff, like that really bothers me because there's a ton of people.
Yeah.
So what I sometimes do is I find an extrovert friend, like a friend that goes out a lot, and I bring him with him. So I kind of like get like the benefits.
I do the same thing actually.
Oh, really?
I bring my wife. she's so different from
you.
She's a total extrovert, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't feel the pressure, you know. I totally resonate with that.
Yeah.
Smart.
that's one of the tricks.
So if you're an introvert, marry an extrovert. It makes parties so much easier.
Or have extroverted friends.
That's the big takeaway of today, right?
That is the big takeaway. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why I got there.
My word of advice for today. Marry an extrovert if you're an introvert.
I'm gonna look at that for that.
And if you're an extrovert, maybe it's beneficial to marry an introvert, because then if you like to be in the center of attention, you don't have anybody trying to upstage you.
Oh yeah, right, because introverts listen more than they speak, yeah.
All right, I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Elisa. All right, see you next week.
Next week.
Bye-bye.